flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon, everybody. Rich Orris here, and thank you for joining us today. And welcome to Ride at Home with Rich. I'm here to tell you, this is going to be one of my favorite shows, probably of the entire year. Right here, right now, for the next hour, we're talking kitchens with Mosby designer Jill Worebeck. She has the scoop on everything. Kitchen trends, cabinets, tops, backsplash, you name it. Jill and Mosby Building Arts has it all. And we have the best processes in the industry to really getting the kitchen that you want the best way possible. So stick around with us for everything kitchen here today. My hack, very simple, how to pull a nail after the head breaks off. So if this has happened to you, don't worry. I got your back on this. On the road, we're going to meet a client that me and Jill worked with, actually making their house a little bit bigger and making the kitchen a little bit bigger into this build out and completely redoing this kitchen. It's going to be an exciting one to talk about today. So here to join me in the conversation of all this is Mosby's own kitchen expert, Jill Worebeck. Thanks for joining me today, Jill. How's it going?
Hi, Rich. How are you? I'm doing well.
I'm doing very well, too. And I am super excited to have you on the show again. You know, we've got so much to talk about, so much to cover. Absolutely love, you know, kitchens, the most fun space, the most costly space, probably. So much going on inside a kitchen. So I love doing this with you and love talking about all of the different things that we can do. But before we get too deep into it, can you kind of just let us know about your background? How did you get interested in designing?
I grew up in the construction industry, so it was kind of a passion growing up. Wanted to be an architect originally, and then fell in love with interior design. So went to school ended up with my interior design degree, and
awesome.
Have been doing it since.
Awesome. And so, of course, you know, I know we've both been in St. Louis forever and actually just kind of learning about grade schools here that we actually attended one of the same grade schools.
Yes, we did.
You know, much, much longer ago. So I got to ask you that St. Louis question. What school did you go to? What high school?
Oh, I went to Hazelwood East.
Awesome. Awesome. So how long have you been helping clients around here at Mosby Building Arts?
I actually just celebrated my 10th anniversary here at Mosby. Prior to that, I've been doing this since the late 90s. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Too long sometimes. Mm-hmm. You don't want to let that cat out of the bag all
no.
the time. So tell me, because we do so many different exciting things, and we've had so many projects together and everything. What is something that you really just love about your job and what you do?
I really enjoy meeting new clients, meeting all of the different personalities, really helping clients transform their spaces into something that they love and want to stay in forever. So really taking their vision and making it real is what I really love.
How fun is that? I gotta tell you.
It is.
So getting into Mosby a little bit, because 10 years is a little while. And we've got a lot of, you know, project managers that have been here, you know, 15 years plus. We've got quite a few of us been here like 20 years now. What do you really love about Mosby, and what's just kept you here for 10 years?
I really love the camaraderie, the teamwork, the family feel of the company, knowing that I have a full team behind me and in front of me. We work together and collaborate under one roof. It's really refreshing. And I think what we build is top notch. So.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And definitely, you know, being here for so long, also myself, you know, I understand, you know, Scott's vision of the team and how, you know, even learning from him as, you know, as he had his radio show and stuff, and they called him the Answer Man and all this, but yet he was never like, you'd never tell he was in charge of anything. He didn't just walk in and have all the answers at work. He would ask everybody, you know, what they thought, what they felt. I think he understands the value of, you know, smart people around.
Agreed.
So having us all as a team, like My Construction, Your Design, you know, Tim and Mitch and all them, like estimating, and how do we get through all this, and having the right people wear the right hats in the right place, I think is really a big thing on, you know, how well, why this comes together so well for all of us and everything. And
I agree. Scott had a great vision, and he has implemented the right people in the right positions to help get us to where we are right now. I remember when I first joined, somebody mentioned Scott being the last Boy Scout. And he always, and he's always emulated that. He's so approachable and just genuinely nice. So,
yeah, I tell you, one of my favorite things really that I think showed like the biggest difference in, you know, the owner of a company. I've worked for a lot of different places.
Me too.
And it took me a long time to get to somewhere like Mosby, where I really, it's like a home, you know, it's a career instead of a job or a position or a paycheck. And, you know, so when we moved into the Leffingwell building around 2007, eight, he literally was in a cubicle like everyone else, right out in the middle of everybody. Like he didn't have, you know, there was an office with glass and a door, and there was a couple of them like that, and he put like accounting and them in there and everything, and he's in the center of the building, right in the middle of everybody in a cubicle, you know, wanting to be connected and wanting to really have a touch on, you know, everybody from production all the way through design and everything. I think it's a phenomenal way to be, and I think it's why we get to be so, have so much fun and be so successful at it.
Absolutely.
So let's go on the road a little bit here. So I do this thing where we talk about, you know, clients that I've met and seen, and what we've done for them, and different things like that, and how these like appointments go as I run around and visit people and learn, you know, up front what they're after, what their thoughts are. And, you know, sometimes I got to be the bearer of some good news and some bad news, but that's okay. You know, it's just trying to be just a good advisor and help everybody the same way is just so enjoyable and so much fun to me. So I wanted to talk about, of course, the kitchen that was just out in Ladue News and everything published, and, you know, probably one of the most phenomenal kitchens we've done in quite a while. We've had quite a few, but this one was, you know, really interesting, and there was some challenges to it. So really going in and, you know, first, you know, meeting the client, she really wanted to, you know, live out and build her husband's dream of how he always thought, you know, the kitchen would be. And of course it was a, you know, what year was that, like an 80s kitchen that was in there, maybe early 90s, something.
Yeah,
it was pretty worn
out.
It was
80s, yeah,
it definitely was definitely not big enough. And you know, thinking about building out in order to gain space, you know, she was kind of telling me about how her husband would always stand at the island and look out the kitchen window and say, you know, I wonder how we could accomplish building out and going that way, and if we could really, you know, make this kitchen dramatic and you know, way better. And there were some real challenges in that because, like, you know, there was two room additions put on the house. So on the left, there was a sunroom, and on the right, there was like a big living room built onto an older home, both built at separate times. So everything wasn't exactly perfect. Everything didn't line up perfectly, really, you know, put some complications to how can we do the roof with the other two roofs coming in, and how do we frame it, and how do we keep things level or looking level? Where do we hide the bricks maybe don't line up real well? And so there was a lot of challenges in how to build it. But once we kind of understood that, you know, went through that whole process with her, you know, it really opened up the possibilities of how this kitchen could be. So, and I know you showed her a couple designs, right? Can you kind of explain, like, we did one not building out and then we did one building out, correct?
Right. So one of the things when I was first brought in, we looked at it as, well, let's see what we can do in the existing footprint of the kitchen. How can we make the transitions? How can we make the workspace better, flow better for her? The other portion of that was she wanted to bring her washer and dryer upstairs, so we needed to find a place to put the laundry room. So we originally were looking at placing the laundry room closer to her master bathroom because we knew that we could access the water supply from there, and which would have put it in an office just off her bedroom. So we're looking at the kitchen and the laundry in that scenario. And as I started designing, I started really looking at the spaces and realized that really if we bumped out at the kitchen area between the two additions, it would really allow better flow, a better work triangle, really give her the space that she was truly dreaming of. And we were able to pull the washer, the laundry over into that area, repurpose where a powder room was, and that became the new laundry, and just move the powder over where an inefficient pantry was. So just kind of doing some reconfiguring, and the end result is outstanding.
Stunning. So, really, yeah. And yeah, check it out in Ladue News, everybody. It's really, there's a couple great photos, really magnificent kitchen. You really outdone yourself on this one for sure. But so tell me, because, you know, sometimes it's hard for me because I'm going through and I don't get as in, I'm more construction and I'm thinking about, can this be done? And if we do bump out, gosh, this roof, like this is going to be complicated. How do I even figure this out? And I get into levels of things. Like I might ask like types of appliances just so I can, you know, maybe when I'm ballparking some price, understand a little bit. But I don't get to learn as much about like really their hopes and dreams and inspirations like you do going out shopping and finding things. Can you just kind of tell me a little bit about what were her kind of dreams and inspirations and what really motivated her with some of those selections?
Well, first of all, we really wanted it to flow with the existing spaces in the home. So we didn't use many bright colors. We kept it kind of monochromatic. That's what she loved, and completely fine with that. We did a lot of black and whites. It becomes very classic. And the floor, we redid the floor going all the way through so that it's a nice continuous transition between the living room going all the way over to the family room, because there were many different floors. So we kind of made that one transition. As far as our client was very interesting because, as she will point out, I didn't know what I wanted, but I also knew what I didn't like. So
getting... Interesting, yeah.
Yes. So it was a process to go through everything and select it, and it was a lot of fun because she did know what she did not like. So yeah. She fell in love with the hood, though, right away. So that kind of helped pull everything together. The light fixtures, we took a little bit of time to do, but the light fixtures are the perfect accent to what is happening. She knew that she wanted a full height splash, but we wanted something dramatic, and so we found that as well. It was, we took a little bit of time to do the selections, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, and there was so many interesting things in there. So real quick, we're getting short on time here, but what's your favorite feature in that kitchen?
It's actually, well, I have two things. I love the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely love the hood. And then it's actually not in the kitchen. It's in the powder room.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the glass tile in the powder room is magnificent. It's a full feature wall, and it just glistens.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And the ceiling and the design, the island, mm-hmm. all that stuff is so, so cool, so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. Everybody can, you know, go to our website, find stuff, look into Ladue News. You're going to love it. We got to get into a break, but we'll be right back after this.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, here's Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, guys, you heard the man. We're back, and we got my Right at Home Hack. So today I thought I would share an old-school nail-pulling trick that I used during my years as a carpentry worker. And so let's say you're pulling nails to replace a deck board, and, of course, the head of that old rusty nail just breaks right off midway. Well, what are you going to do now? How do you get it out? Well, here's a really easy way to complete the job. All you got to do is place the V of your pry bar around the nail like you're going to pull it, clamp locking vice grip pliers to that nail right up against the pry bar, and just pry away. It will simply pull that nail right out for you. It doesn't get any easier than that. So if you want to hear this or any of my weekly hacks, you can find them all every week on Facebook. Just search Rich Orris Mosby on Facebook. It'll take you right to me. So we're going to get back here with the regular show with Jill Worobek, kitchen designer from Mosby, with me today. We were kind of going over that kitchen project that we did, and I want to stick on that just a little bit because I think there's a couple other, you know, things that we did in there that was really kind of cool, and, you know, and some more building challenges to that too. But Jill, can you just kind of explain like the ceiling and coming up with how that ceiling worked in there and fit in the space and everything? Because I that's a feature I really like about that kitchen.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's fun. Yeah, the ceiling. So my client really loved the coffered ceilings. The design challenge to that was she really didn't have a tall ceiling to work with. So our ceiling overall was 99 inches. And typically if you're going to do a coffer, it's typically more. It's taller than that. So we were only able to do it about 3 inches. So we ended up doing just dropping it using one bys all the way around just to give that visual look, but then not come down.
not come down too far.
Right, exactly.
Or something.
Right, exactly. The other major challenge was we really opened up the kitchen to the family room.
Yeah.
And that was a structural wall.
Yes.
So they ended up having to put an enormous beam in, steel beam in, to support the second floor along with the roof line of the family room.
Yeah, that, I remember that being a huge challenge, figuring out, you know, basically creating what maybe like a 16-foot wide or 12-foot wide opening, and literally about a 30-foot long steel giant I-beam to hold all that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's my wheelhouse. That's where I live. That's what I absolutely love, that part, is like, how do we do that? How do we build this? And, you know, can we open it up? You bet. Let's figure out a way, you know, let's get the right thing in there and everything. And of course, there's, you know, a lot of processes that we go through, you know, to figure all that stuff out. So, you know, looking at all the different processes that we have, you know, designing all the selections, building all the different stuff. So let's kind of start real quick from the beginning. So you get your hands on a kitchen like this. What's your process? I mean, I'm interested in how do you even figure out, like you were talking about the triangle, all that stuff of the kitchen. So what's your process to even getting started in a kitchen like that?
It varies with each project, I will admit. But so on this one in particular, I would go through the needs. I go through the needs and I start just placing things. Well, what's going to work best? Placing appliances, placing sink location. So yes, so there is a work triangle that we like to work with in design. And the work triangle is your sink to your refrigerator to your range, and range to your sink. So, and you can also look at it as cleanup area, prep area, cooking area as well. So you don't want any of those legs to be bigger than 12 feet apart. Ideally, all together, when you add it all up, is 26 feet.
Oh, gotcha.
And you don't want to be over, you don't want to impede on an island over 12 inches. So if you're going to do that, you should probably add a prep sink. So when you start factoring all of that in, you're just kind of putting into the program, and kind of, it's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
And you're starting to place things. And then you're starting to figure out what's going to work best in which area. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's like a puzzle. See, I do all kinds of puzzles all the time. So you'd think I'd be better at this, the kitchen and stuff, than that. But,
Then
it is interesting.
Right. And then you always want to make sure that next to like your refrigerator or next to your ovens, that there's always a landing. You need at least 15 inches of landing on either side. Along with next to any sinks, you also want your 15 to 18 inch landings. So it's kind of all flows. So
that is really cool. So that, you know, and I've learned so much over 20 years of being here, you know, at Mosby, and how all this stuff works, and how detailed it can be, and really figuring all that out. And really, to me, it kind of shows the shame in a lot of the way a lot of other companies work or do things, because I worked for a lot of companies. I put a lot of kitchens together prior to coming to Mosby, and really building kitchens for Mosby and seeing the detail and all the, you know, people already knowing where things are going in the cabinets and all of that. And so I can honestly say, like, before, nobody ever had a plan. It was like, you put the cabinets in, things went where they went. You did it, that, like, clients did not know where they were putting stuff prior to the kitchen being done at any place I ever worked at before Mosby. And here it's just that attention to every single detail. You know, one of my first kitchens I did at Mosby, we had a mess up with the kitchen sink, and it was a, you know, like 60-40 split. It came in, the wrong sink came in, and I asked the client, I thought, well, so if we went ahead and did this, if we just swapped like the trash can and the dishwasher, and they could just work in the other direction and kind of go from, you know, right to left instead of left to right or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me, and her answer was so long. And there was so many plans of, like, the trash can was near the door and the trash goes out the back and they're going to have a shredder for the mail and they bring the mail in that door. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, yeah, okay, you've thought through this and we're going to get you a new sink. How's that? And we're going to keep things where they should be. But, you know, mm-hmm. it was thinking from construction, they're both 2 feet wide. You put that one over there. It seemed so simple to me. And I was like, wow. They've really went through this process I didn't even understand. So I have just gained so much knowledge on all of that stuff over the years and in learning the importance of it. It's quite amazing. So I commend mm-hmm. you for going through all that with everybody. Mm-hmm. But let's talk selections, because I know this is probably your favorite area, right?
You gotta, I do love selections.
So what do you call it? You getting to do what? Spend everybody's money, right? You get to go shopping and actually spend everybody else's money.
I am a professional shopper, yes.
Exactly. So just explain real quick, like, so that selections process. How does that work? What is it? What do you do?
Okay, so the first time I meet a client at our, what we call our measure and photo, that's when I start interviewing the client, and that's when I really start asking them their taste, their style, finding out if they've looked online at any inspirational photos, you know, details like that.
Yeah.
Investment levels. That's a big conversation that we like to have during that measure and photo. That helps kind of lead me into the right places to take clients. The fun begins actually after we go to a deposit agreement. And the deposit agreement is something we enter into after the first presentation. If a client wants to move forward, then we go into that. And that triggers selections. And that's actually one of the most fun times of the project. Literally, I'm out with clients and with the allowances that we have built into the estimate. And we're shopping.
That sounds so fun.
Mm-hmm. We're looking for all the fun products and glamorous backsplashes, really focusing on the cabinets, the cabinet layouts. Obviously, this is all dependent on what project we're doing. Sure. It could be for a bath or it could be for a kitchen or an addition. You know, we have a multitude of projects. But that's the best time.
Oh, yeah, and that's what we were kind of joking around about, spending other people's money, professional shopper. I mean, you're out there basically fully assisting, holding mm-hmm. hands, going mm-hmm. through the whole process. I couldn't even imagine, like, how many kitchens alone do you think you've just bought all the stuff for kitchens? It's got to be, like, thousands.
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot. And but one thing I really do love about our process, like I said, is helping the clients choose the products that fit their lifestyle and their yeah. tastes. I'm an advisor leading them to make the selections within the investment levels that we've prepared. Sometimes if they want to splurge a little, I will let them know.
Sure.
As we're selecting that, oh, okay, so that particular item might be a little bit over, but we can probably make that up with this item. So we're there as counselors.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, you know, so you get to see a world of different magnitudes of, you know, types of appliances, mm-hmm. types of cabinets, mm-hmm. All the different cost levels. I mean, I know kitchens, just the pieces that go in it can be, you know, wildly different in mm-hmm. cost. So, yeah, staying in line, finding out what they need, I'm sure that's so important. What I want to get into right after our break is the cabinets, how they change, how they get so expensive. So we'll get into that right when we return.
Listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horris.
All right, here we go, guys. We are back. We are talking kitchens today with Mosby designer Jill Warabek. And, you know, we've done so many different kitchens. We've done so much stuff together. And I've always told everybody, if there's something you don't know about cabinets or something you need to know about cabinets, yeah, just go ask Jill. She's going to have the down low on every different thing about cabinets that there is. And, you know, cabinets can be just wildly different in price
in the expense.
And, you know, so can you just kind of explain what are some of the differences in cabinetry that can make them better, look that much different, and then just have such an expense on some of these, you know, custom cabinets and stuff?
Well, there's the old adage, you get what you pay for.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely is true with kitchen cabinets. So, the lower price lines, they typically, you'll notice that they are imported. So they might have inferior products put with it. Then you get into the products, the mid-range kitchen cabinets. And again, that goes to, is it plywood construction? How is it really constructed? Then you get into, well, okay, you've got your construction, but is it framed, frameless, or inset? Those are the three different ways to do the doors and their appearances. You could have a framed box and a full overlay cabinet. You could have a framed box with an inset door that's a very cottagey look. And then you can have a frameless. So when I'm talking to clients, I will start with that because that kind of dictates what we want to do. And I'll take the clients through the pluses and minuses of all of those.
Sure.
So frameless, you're going to actually get the most storage on the inside. But it's more of a, it's not necessarily a modern look, but it's, you know, like I said, it'll give you the cleanest look. However, it is a little bit more, when it comes to installation, those cabinets can actually rack a little bit more. So you have to be a little bit better at installing. So a little bit about those.
So what about finishes? Mm. How does the finish affect that overall investment?
So it depends. So I look at finishes. I'm a big person. That's my thing. I would rather have a factory finish on a cabinet because they use a catalytic conversion method where it literally locks that finish in on the cabinet. So the moisturizers and the oil on your fingers won't destroy the finish. There are other ways of doing it. I mean, you could have a locally made cabinet, and that is fine. If you're going to do that, my suggestion is you do that in a bookcase, or you do it in a place that's not going to be high traffic. That the finish actually really does affect the overall price because the better finishes are on the better cabinet line, so therefore it's generally more expensive.
So. Absolutely. And for everybody out there, you know, if you want to see any of this stuff, if you want to learn more about Jill or myself or Mosby Building Arts, you can find a lot of these photos, a lot of the work that we do on our website at callmosby.com. I welcome everybody to come check it out and, you know, see some of the awesome stuff that me and Jill have done together in a lot of these kitchen projects and other projects. So
I have one more thing,
if
you don't mind.
Okay. No.
Another big thing is floating panel construction and finishing it before it's all put together. Because in the St. Louis area, we have something called humidity. And humidity shrinks and expands wood, and that center panel can move a little bit, and then it looks your cabinet's not finished. So that is also something that will distinguish a better price line from a lower price line.
Interesting. So which kind of brings me to the question that we get all of the time, because you're talking about get what you pay for and the different cabinets and, you know, how do they hold up, and everybody wants to know, can I paint my kitchen cabinets? Mm-hmm. I always bring it to, should you paint your kitchen cabinets? What are some of the reasons, or what should people know about, like if they're even thinking about, what should they think about before they paint their kitchen cabinets?
The longevity that, in my opinion, it's the longevity that they want. A painted cabinet, that is not something that is a DIY. If that's a road that you really want to go down, I would definitely suggest that a professional painter look at the cabinets and give you a quality bid, because, Rich, you know this.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of prep work that needs to happen on those cabinets to even get it ready to paint. And then you have to also, it's the finished product. I mean, are you okay with a fingernail perhaps scratching that finish, and
exactly.
And it's not going to be perfect anymore? And if that's something that you're okay with, then perhaps painting the cabinets is fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, because, and what made me kind of even bring that up is you were talking about that finish, like the factory hanging, you know, how they put that finish on there and how durable. So, yeah, again, it kind of goes back to, you know, longevity and lasting value. You know, how
right.
long do you need this to last? You know, are you really committed to your home? And, you know, what are you really looking for to get out of it? If you are really committed and you want to be there 10, 15, 20 years, kind of like you said, it's good to investigate. It's good to find out. You know, find out what the painter does cost to do it.
Right.
And you can judge it against. We do this all the time in our kitchen designs. Okay, well, we'll come up with one where we paint some cabinets and maybe do a little stuff over here and change the rest of the stuff, or we'll put new cabinets. You know, find out what these different costs are and what's worth it to you, what's the value to you in what you're getting, and how long do you want this to last for you, you know?
Definitely.
I think it means a ton, you know, for everybody. So when you go through picking cabinets and all that, how do you kind of start that process, and what's the process for picking cabinets as far as style and everything else with your clients?
Really, like I said, goes back to that initial interview. Also, any inspiration photos that they have, and then literally taking them through the looks and just, we have, you know, door styles at the showroom. Well, it's not a showroom, but it's a selection center. And so we'll show different door styles and find out kind of just what they like, and then start going through the different aspects of what does each cabinet need to be, what kind of accessories, what is their expectation, and how are they going to use that space? Some people would love an island that looks like furniture, so therefore we start going through those details of how are we going to achieve that.
And you can get so many crazy looks like that. It's amazing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Are they asymmetrical or are they symmetrical? Because that also depends on kind of how the whole layout falls into place. So, and then we'll choose moldings and kind of the finishing touches to pull it all together.
Yeah, it is amazing how you got to think about, you know, and really not even just think about, but learn about, like, what do clients want, expect. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me about the differences in you know, granite and the quartz and some of the man-made stuff, and I always kind of revert it back and say, well, what do you guys like to see? You know, do you like something that's wild and free-flowing and is nature-y and outdoors, and that, then you're probably going to like granite more. If it bothers you that this countertop doesn't look exactly like that countertop, then you're going to want to go to something man-made where they will actually look exactly alike. So, yeah, there's some crazy things you got to go through in really finding out about the client that is, you know, particularly amazing to me.
Exactly.
How you come to these answers.
Right. And like I said, a lot of it has to do with lifestyle, their expectations, and their tastes. I mean, like you said about the countertops. A quartz countertop, which is man-made, can be fantastic for some families because of the attributes. They don't have to be sealed, and they're consistent. Yeah. Whereas if you're going into a stone countertop, that could be granite, it could be quartzite. I really wouldn't recommend marble in a kitchen.
Yeah.
It's used, but I don't recommend it. It's a little too soft.
Yeah.
Again, my opinion. But if you're going into the stone, it does have some maintenance. It has to be sealed every once in a while. But it's also going to be unique. It is.
Yeah.
It's right out of the earth. So you're not going to have a piece that looks like the other pieces.
Absolutely. So unfortunately, we are just running completely out of time. We've got another hour we could go, but we don't have another hour, so we'll have to do this again.
Great.
Can't wait till the next time. For everybody else out there, feel free to check us out. Call Mosby.com or just pick up the phone, 314-909-1800. For everybody else, I'll talk to everybody else next week.
Listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, here we go, guys. We are back. We are talking kitchens today with Mosby designer Jill Warabek. And, you know, we've done so many different kitchens. We've done so much stuff together. And I've always told everybody, if there's something you don't know about cabinets or something you need to know about cabinets, yeah, just go ask Jill. She's gonna have the down low on every different thing about cabinets that there is. And you know, cabinets can be just wildly different in price
in the
expense. And you know, so can you just kind of explain what are some of the differences in cabinetry that can make them better, look that much different? And then just have such an expense on some of these, you know, custom cabinets and stuff.
Well, there's the old adage, you get what you pay for.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely is true with kitchen cabinets. So the lower price lines, they typically, you'll notice that they are imported. So they might have inferior products put with it. Then you get into the products, the mid-range kitchen cabinets. And again, that goes to, is it plywood construction? How is it really constructed? Then you get into, well, okay, you've got your construction, but is it framed, frameless, or inset? Those are the three different ways to do the doors and their appearances. You could have a framed box and a full overlay cabinet. You could have a framed box with an inset door that's a very cottagey look. And then you can have a frameless. So when I'm talking to clients, I will start with that because that kind of dictates what we want to do. And I'll take the clients through the pluses and minuses of all of those.
Sure.
So frameless, you're going to actually get the most storage on the inside, but it's more of a, it's not necessarily a modern look, but it's, you know, like I said, it'll give you the cleanest look. However, it is a little bit more, when it comes to installation, those cabinets can actually rack a little bit more, so you have to be a little bit better at installing. So, a little bit about those.
So what about finishes? How does the finish affect that overall investment?
So it depends. So I look at finishes. I'm a big person. That's my thing. I would rather have a factory finish on a cabinet because they use a catalytic conversion method where it literally locks that finish in on the cabinet. So the moisturizers and the oil on your fingers won't destroy the finish. There are other ways of doing it. I mean, you could have a locally made cabinet, and that is fine. If you're going to do that, my suggestion is you do that in a bookcase or you do it in a place that's not going to be high traffic. That the finish actually really does affect the overall price because the better finishes are on the better cabinet line. So therefore, it's generally more expensive. So.
Absolutely. And for everybody out there, you know, if you want to see any of this stuff, if you want to learn more about Jill or myself or Mosby Building Arts, you can find a lot of these photos, a lot of the work that we do on our website at callmosby.com. I welcome everybody to come check it out and, you know, see some of the awesome stuff that me and Jill have done together in a lot of these kitchen projects and other projects. So
I have one more thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Mind. Okay. No. Another big thing is floating panel construction and finishing it before it's all put together, because in the St. Louis area we have something called humidity, and humidity shrinks and expands wood, and that center panel can move a little bit, and then it looks your cabinet's not finished. So that is also something that will distinguish a better price line from a lower price line.
Interesting. So which kind of brings me to the question that we get all of the time, because you're talking about get what you pay for and the different cabinets and, you know, how do they hold up? And everybody wants to know, can I paint my kitchen cabinets? Mm-hmm. I always bring it to, should you paint your kitchen cabinets? What are some of the reasons, or what should people know about, like if they're even thinking about, what should they think about before they paint their kitchen cabinets?
The longevity that, in my opinion, it's the longevity that they want. A painted cabinet, that is not something that is a DIY. If that's a road that you really want to go down, I would definitely suggest that a professional painter look at the cabinets and give you a quality bid, because Rich, you know this.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of prep work that needs to happen on those cabinets to even get it ready to paint. And then you have to also, it's the finished product. I mean, are you okay with a fingernail perhaps scratching that finish and it's not going to be perfect anymore? And if that's something that you're okay with, then perhaps painting the cabinets is fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, because, and what made me kind of even bring that up is you were talking about that finish, like the factory hanging, you know, how they put that finish on there and how durable. So, yeah, again, it kind of goes back to, you know, longevity and lasting value. You know, how long do you need this to last? You know, are you really committed to your home? And, you know, what are you really looking for to get out of it? If you are really committed and you want to be there 10, 15, 20 years, kind of like you said, it's good to investigate. It's good to find out. You know, find out what the painter does cost to do it.
Right.
And you can judge it against. We do this all the time in our kitchen designs. Okay, well, we'll come up with one where we paint some cabinets and maybe do a little stuff over here and change the rest of the stuff, or we'll put new cabinets. You know, find out what these different costs are and what's worth it to you, what's the value to you in what you're getting, and how long do you want this to last for you, you know?
Definitely.
I think it means a ton, you know, for everybody. So when you go through picking cabinets and all that, how do you kind of start that process, and what's the process for picking cabinets as far as style and everything else with your clients?
Really, like I said, goes back to that initial interview. Also, any inspiration photos that they have, and then literally taking them through the looks and just, we have, you know, door styles at the showroom. Well, it's not a showroom, but it's the selection center. And so we'll show different door styles and find out kind of just what they like, and then start going through the different aspects of what does each cabinet need to be, what kind of accessories, what is their expectation, and how are they going to use that space? Some people would love an island that looks like furniture, so therefore we start going through those details of how are we going to achieve that.
And you can get so many crazy looks like that. It's amazing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Are they asymmetrical or are they symmetrical? Because that also depends on kind of how the whole layout falls into place. So then we'll choose moldings and kind of the finishing touches to pull it all together.
Yeah, it is amazing how you got to think about, you know, and really not even just think about, but learn about, like, what do clients want, expect. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me about the differences in you know, granite and the quartz and some of the man-made stuff. And I always kind of revert it back and say, well, what do you guys like to see? You know, do you like something that's wild and free-flowing and is nature-y and outdoors? And that, then you're probably going to like granite more. If it bothers you that this countertop doesn't look exactly like that countertop, then you're going to want to go to something man-made where they will actually look exactly alike. So, yeah, there's some crazy things you got to go through in really finding out about the client that is, you know, particularly amazing to me.
Exactly.
How you come to these answers.
Right. And like I said, a lot of it has to do with lifestyle, their expectations, and their tastes. I mean, like you said about the countertops. A quartz countertop, which is man-made, can be fantastic for some families because of the attributes. They don't have to be sealed, and they're consistent. Whereas if you're going into a stone countertop, that could be granite, it could be quartzite. I really wouldn't recommend marble in a kitchen.
Yeah.
It's used, but I don't recommend it. It's a little too soft.
Yeah.
Again, my opinion. But if you're going into the stone, it does have some maintenance. It has to be sealed every once in a while. But it's also going to be unique. It is.
Yeah.
It's right out of the earth, so you're not going to have a piece that looks like the other pieces.
Absolutely. So, unfortunately, we are just running completely out of time. We've got another hour we could go, but we don't have another hour, so we'll have to do this again.
Great.
Can't wait till the next time. For everybody else out there, feel free to check us out. Call Mosby.com or just pick up the phone, 314-909-1800. For everybody else, I'll talk to everybody else next week.